Brother Schumacher. God bless.
Praise the Lord, everybody. How wonderful to be in the presence of God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord. I get overwhelmed. I mean, I've been raised in this, and I still get overwhelmed. I mean, I love it not because the music is loud or fast or slow or because the crowd's making a lot of noise, but it's your own personal relationship with God in your heart and mind. I mean, your pastor can stand up here and tell you what Jesus did, but when you know that he did it specifically for you as an individual, what depth of meaning it has. Hallelujah. So what a treat for me to be with Apostolic Faith Church again on this watch night. 2014, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. Amen. But I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. And I know who holds my hand. Hallelujah. I would not want to live at all today without a relationship with the living God. Amen. One of the signs of the last days is men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. Yes. And there's a lot of things in this world that if we didn't know God would really make us fearful and afraid. Right. But I'm so thankful that he is my shield, he is my buckler, he is my rock, he is my shepherd, he is my friend, he is my God, he is my Savior, and most of all, he is my husband. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing it is to have a personal relationship with God. You're in a church tonight, we will never say, come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. But he is a personal Savior. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles tonight, shall we? And I'm glad they've adjusted watch night services just a little bit. Years ago, when I first started evangelizing, I did watch night. I was at one church, they started the service at 8 o'clock, and I got the floor to preach at 12:20. And I thought, Lord, I don't care how much we're in the spirit, we're mighty tired right now. So it's nice to start at 8 o'clock and have the floor at 9:30, you know. So you still can maybe comprehend just a little bit, all right? All right, let's turn to Psalm 1 in our Bible, shall we? Psalm 1. Psalm 1, beginning with verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I'm going to read the first three verses again, because this is what we feel led to emphasize to you tonight. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's pray one more time, shall we? Again, Jesus, thank you for your wonderful presence that has invaded this place tonight. Thank you again for your word. God, I pray that it would minister to us not only tonight, but next week, next month, 6 months from now, Lord. Let it just get engrafted into our hearts and lives. God, for your glory and honor, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. I am so thankful for the message of truth that we preach, believe, and obey in this church. The truth of repentance, water baptism by immersion, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and receiving the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. And as an evangelist, I would never stand in this pulpit and take away from anyone's religious experience or tell you you've never touched God or God has never touched you. But on the day of Pentecost, when they said, "What shall we do?" Peter instructed them to repent, to be baptized in Jesus' name, and that they would receive the Holy Ghost. If it was the truth in the book of Acts, it is still the truth in the year 2013 and will continue to be the truth in 2014. But when a person repents and is baptized and receives the Holy Ghost, that is not the high point or the climax of your experience with God. You have just now been born again. It's the beginning of your relationship with God. And from the moment someone repents and is baptized and receives the Holy Ghost, from that point, that individual can go one of two directions. He either begins to go, amen, and grow in God, reach a potential in God and become fruitful for God. Or else he will digress, regress, always remain fleshly and worldly and never become fruitful. All right, for the glory of God. But in Psalm 1, David saw a progression for the child of God. He said, "Blessed is the man," or "happy is the man, that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly." It is good when you are born again, when you repent and are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, it is good to realize that God wants you to walk in the counsel of the godly. My father was a pastor. I've pastored. I've assisted. Now I've been traveling for almost the last 40 years. And I've seen, I know of people that they repented, were baptized, and were filled with the Holy Ghost, but they never came and put themselves under the authority of a spiritual leader. They never put themselves under the authority of the Word of God. Happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There's such a contrast. Do you understand between the world and the church? Light and darkness, good and evil, sheep and goats. Folks, it's just constant in the Word of God. But some people come and they still walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They cannot grasp the fact that the wisdom of the Word is so much better than the wisdom of the world. Amen. And it's the counsel of the world that still has more influence on them than what the Word of God is telling them to do. And the man who is walking in the counsel of the ungodly, it's not too long till he is standing, congregating with the sinner. Even though they still come to church, their closest friends are not individuals in the body of Christ, but their closest friends are individuals outside the body of Jesus Christ. And it's not too long till the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly and he's congregating with the sinner, it's not too long till he sits in the seat of the scornful. I know of individuals tonight that at one time loved Pentecostal worship. They loved preaching. They loved conviction. They loved the move of the Spirit. And they loved the altar. But now they come to church and know what? They scorn the worship. And they scorn the preaching, and they scorn the conviction, and they scorn the altar. This does not happen just like that, at the snap of the finger. But it's the result, amen, of walking in the counsel of the ungodly and then standing in the way of sinners. And now they sit in the seat of the scornful. But David said, happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It is good when you are born of water and spirit to come into this church, put yourself under the authority of the word of God. Amen. And listen to the counsel of the godly. And Lord, help me not to ever congregate with the sinner so much that the church becomes distant. I believe your closest friends should be individuals washed in the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I am closer to some of you in this church than I am to members of my own family that are not walking, amen, with God. Amen. And God, help me never to sit in the seat of the scornful. Listen, when you're sitting out there and God's word begins to cut into you and God gives you direction and God gives you conviction, don't get mad at the preacher. Amen. Don't scorn conviction. Amen. Or what the word of God is speaking to you. But always be thankful that God still talks to your heart and God still feeds you with his word. I tell you what, everybody, the middle of the road is a poor place to drive. It is. It's really dangerous to drive with two tires on this side of the line and two tires on this side of the line. You know, I mean, that's a dangerous place to be, you know. And testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, there he is. Now, you know what the problem is for someone that comes into the church? And they still try to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. The problem is the world and the church are going in opposite directions. So the world's going this way and the church is going this way. And the world's going this way and the church is going this way. And the world's going this way. The church. Child of God who was not happy, I ask myself, where is he walking? Where is he standing? And where is he sitting? But happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, one translation says, what gets him excited is an 8-point buck. A 12-pound bass. An antique car. Whoa, an antique rocking chair. Do you know what? The man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, he does not stand in the way of sinners, he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Do you know what gets him excited? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Hallelujah. He thinks on it day and night. Don't be one of those apostolics that the only time you open up your Bible is on Wednesday and Sunday when the preacher opens up his. No, why don't you be one of those apostolics that you meditate on the word day and night. You read it and you apply it to your life, to your thought life, to your lifestyle, to how you dress, to how you talk, to how you live, amen, to how you treat people around you, to your lifestyle, amen. And he meditates on it day and night. I remember preaching in Texas, and this church knows me well enough that I really do like to turn to scripture, you know, when I minister the word of God. And I was preaching in Texas, and I was pausing. You can hear the pages ruffling out there. And in that little pause, I heard a woman way in the back say, boy, I wish he would give us the page number. You know? Sometimes we don't even know where the books of the Bible are. But I'll tell you what, everybody, this word of God should excite you. Amen. It should put a hallelujah on your lips, a clap in your hands. Hallelujah. Amen. And keep preaching to me, evangelist. Keep preaching to me, Brother Schumacher. Keep preaching to me. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. In verse 3, and he could be. There's a good chance he might be. 92% of the time, no. Folks, a man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, he does not stand in the way of sinners, he does not sit in the seat of the scornful, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and then and in his life he meditates day and night. There is something that is automatic. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. David knew the secret of a consistent, constant, growing, productive, fruitful Christian life. I want you to know, folks, people are not victorious by accident. People are not spiritual just by a roll of the dice. Somebody is doing something right. Amen. To have victory in their heart and in their soul. Now, there are trees that grow in the tundra region of Siberia, Russia. The average temperature year around is only 48 degrees. So the trees that grow there only get to an average height of about 48 inches to 52 inches. And they never produce any fruit. And the trees are gnarled and gray and ugly and stubby because the conditions in which they are planted are not conducive to growth. But at the same time, I have been at the Muir Woods up by San Francisco, and you walk through these redwoods and these towering sequoia trees, and I remember walking through that forest and saying, God, this is how you want my spirituality and my Christianity to be: tall, straight, flourishing, productive, and strong. Hallelujah. Because, folks, there's no shortcuts to victory, and there's no shortcuts, amen, to spirituality. When you do your part, God's part is going to be done in your heart and in your life. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, John the Baptist, the first preacher that comes along after 400 years, preaches a message of repentance. And know what he says? The axe is laid at the root of the tree. The root of the tree. Now, he was talking to men, but he was liking them to trees. And his message was a message of repentance. Everyone here needs to understand constantly about repentance. There's more to repentance than a few tears on your cheek. Amen. And shaking a preacher's hand. There's more to repentance than putting a few ashes on your forehead. Repentance is a severance and a separation. Amen. Where you are, and when the axe is laid at the root of the tree, where you are cut off from the ungodly, amen, from the unholy, amen, from things from which God does not approve. Sometimes I fear in my travels as an evangelist, we're in a hurry to get him in the water, baptized in Jesus' name, and a hurry to get them to raise their hands and speak with other tongues. I have been to churches where sinners are repenting and weeping and crying and making things right with God. And I see a very sincere son of God go up there and say, come on, let's raise our hands. Let's worship God. Listen, don't make that, don't be in a hurry with them. Amen. Let them tell God they're sorry. Amen. Let them make an apology to God. Amen. Let something happen where they are cut off. And we were the axes laid at the root of the tree. And now they are severed and separated, amen, from the sinful ways in their life. Now, let's look at the book of Colossians chapter 2. The book of Colossians chapter 2 in our Bibles. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, page 1553. If you have a same kind of Bible I have, all right? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now the axe is laid at the root of the tree, right, in repentance. Now it says in verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Do you know what our salvation experience is? It's actually a spiritual transplant. You repent, you are baptized, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but you still live on Pine Street, you still drive a Dodge, you still like two creams in your coffee, you still like raspberry jelly on your English muffin, you still like your eggs over medium, you know, you still work at the factory, but you are transplanted. You are uprooted from the ungodly and are rooted in the godly. Uprooted from the unholy, rooted in the holy. Uprooted from the world, rooted in the church. We are rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. Rooted and built up in him. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 13 in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 13, right, and verse 3. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. It says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some seed fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, roots are important. I'm always happy in the summertime when the farmers' markets are opened, you know, and you go down there and here's the fresh vegetables and here's the fresh fruit, and you can walk through that fruit market and say, oh, what magnificent peaches. Oh, what gorgeous pears. Oh, man, what beautiful fruit. But we don't say, oh, what magnificent roots. What beautiful roots. But you know what? There would be no fruit without roots. Without roots. It's important to have roots. Because it's the roots that anchor the plant to the ground. It's through the roots that minerals and nutrients are taken into the plant system. Amen. And whereby the plant grows and it begins to produce fruit. It's important to repent of sins. It's important to be baptized in Jesus' name. It's important to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's important to do one more thing. You need to be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. You need to get a source of strength and nourishment in your life. In my travels, some people come in, repent, get baptized, receive the Holy Ghost, and they take off like rockets. Zoom, there they go. And they come down like rocks. I go back to the same church time and time and time again. And sometimes I go back to a church and I ask the pastor, hey, where's brother so-and-so? You know, last time I was here, he was running laps around the church. Well, brother Mackey, he just doesn't come anymore. And where's sister so-and-so? Man, she was singing the lead part in the choir. Well, she just doesn't come anymore either. Do you understand that the Bible says because they had no root, they withered away? Listen, if anyone in this church ever withers and you don't make it, well, you know, brother so-and-so did this and sister so-and-so did this and the preacher's kid did this and the organ player did that. Listen, if anybody here ever withers, the problem is not external. The problem is internal. People wither, not because of what the organ player did. People wither because they had no source of strength and nourishment in their life. You need to be rooted and you need to be built up in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They take a little sprig of a palm tree in Lebanon. All right, it's only about 18, 20 inches tall. And know what? They will plant it in the ground. And do you know what they do? They will take a great big rock and put it right on top of that little sprig of a palm tree. And it's bent over to the ground and crushed underneath that rock. And for 6 weeks, all they do is water the rock. Water it, water it, water it, water it. And the tree cannot grow up. But do you know what? All the time it's there, the roots are going down, 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 down. And then after it gets a source of nourishment and it has a place of strength and it got some roots, then they take the rock off. They take this little sprig of a palm tree. Amen. They stand it up, tie a stick to it, and it never dies and it grows. Do you know why? Because now it has a place of nourishment and strength. It is good when you repent of sins and are baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost to come and put yourself under the rock, Christ Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. And get watered by the Spirit of God. And their roots go down, 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 down. Hallelujah. Because everyone can walk with God. Everything's, you know, well, I got a good job. I'm making good money. Man, everything's perfect. Woo! I got the victory. But you know when they wither? Folks, when the sun comes. All right, when the heat comes. And when the test comes, they wither. So that is why, folks, it's valuable that you have roots. Palm Canyon, out in California. People, you know, always loved it because of all these palm trees. And every spring, all the bluebirds would come back and they would nest, all right, into these palm trees. And the migration was just beautiful. But it was one of these dry falls and this forest fire came through. And you know, and it just went through these palm trees and they were just burned black and brittle. And now the winter snows came and it made the tree condition look even more severe because here's the white snow and here's the burned, black, charred palm trees. And they said the trees are going to die and the bluebirds will never be back again. But people were amazed as when the spring sun came and the snow melted. Folks, that the trees still flourished and they had not died and the bluebirds came back like they always did. Do you know why? Because the fire burned what was external, but the fire could not get down to the source of strength and to the source of nourishment. Amen. It could not get down to the roots. The Bible says we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, a great cloud of witnesses. I remember when I was pastoring for a year in Germany, and at the height of our military in Germany in 1980, we had over 400,000 military personnel in Germany. And that's not the wives and the kids, that's the soldiers in the Air Force. All right. And it was my job to go around to military bases and to work with fellowship leaders that were trying to establish an apostolic work in that area. Outside of every military base, folks, were prostitutes. Because prostitution is a legal job in Europe and in Germany. Every time you came out of a base, folks, there's 15, 20 prostitutes that are lining the road. And do you know what? Military life was not conducive to family life because the husband would be over there for 9 months to a year, do a year and 3 months till they would bring the wife and the kids over. And do you know what? Individuals went to Germany and lost their relationship with God because of immorality and promiscuity. They did, folks, simply because of temptation. And, folks, apparently they had no true relationship with God. And the military, no, was not conducive to, you know, family life. But at the same time, the church I was pastoring, folks, had 48 the very first Sunday. And 1 year later, we had 163 in church. Folks, and you know what? There were individuals that came out of that, folks, and they came home licensed ministers in the United Pentecostal Church. Someday there's going to be a military guy that stands before God and say, God, I just couldn't live for you because I was in the military. That's when God's going to look at this great crowd of witnesses. Sergeant Thomas! Sergeant Thomas! So here comes Sergeant Thomas. Here's two men. They were both in the Air Force. All right? They both have the Holy Ghost. They both have the name. They both have the blood. They both had a pastor. They both have the Bible. But one of them lived for God and one of them did not. Do you know what the difference is? One of them was rooted and built up in Jesus Christ and one of them was not. My father pastored a church in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. There was a precious woman there from Yugoslavia. Sister Madej is her name. Just a precious saint of God. She always sat in the second pew. I was the preacher's kid, and I always sat in the second pew on this side, you know, right across from her. And I didn't chew gum or color or anything. I was, you know, I was right there. And folks, I would watch Sister Madej worship. She just loved God. Every time there was testimony service, she was on her feet so quickly. But Sister Madej's husband was of the Catholic faith. And know what? He hated the apostolic church. He hated speaking with tongues. tongues, and he was an alcoholic. And when he would drink, sometimes he would get mean and violent. And sometimes he would give his wife permission to come to church. And by the time she got home from church, he had been drinking. And he couldn't remember that he gave her permission. And he would say, "Where are you?" And she said, "I went to church." And he said, "I didn't give you permission." "Oh, but you did." And sometimes, folks, he would just take his fists and beat her. One time he took an iron skillet and almost killed Sister Madej. And sometimes he would stay away from church for 2 or 3 weeks at a time because she didn't want anyone to see the bruises on her face or the black eye that she had. But every time she did come back to church, folks, when they had testimony service, Sister Madej was on her feet. And she didn't say, "Oh, please pray for me. It's so hard living for God and I got this husband." No, folks, she talked about her hope in God. She talked about, amen, the peace that passed all understanding. Sister Madej was very sick, and my father was with her when she passed away. In her last breath, she was speaking with other tongues. So my father goes out to Mr. Madej to make funeral arrangements. He meets him after my father at the door with a shotgun. So, she's going to be buried by a Catholic priest. So all the apostolics went to the Catholic church for the funeral. You know, so here's the Catholic priest up there. Here's the funeral, you know, and they come and close the casket. And I was just a little kid, and they come and they take this water, and they're sprinkling water on top of the casket. I remember asking my dad, I said, "What is that?" Daddy said, "They call that holy water." And I'm thinking there's already holy water in the casket, you know. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know. But, folks, that's not the end of Sister Madej. But someday there's going to be a wife that stands before God and say, "God, I just couldn't live for you because my husband was unsaved." And that's when God's going to look at this great cloud of witnesses and say, "Sister Madej, Sister Madej." And here she comes, two women. They both had a pastor, both had the name, both had the blood, both had the Bible, both had a church. But one of them had roots and one of them did not. You need to be rooted and you must be built up in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Remember when I was pastoring a home missions church, you know, there weren't too many men in the church, so I was cutting the grass around the church. But right by the sidewalk was this tall weed. And I could have taken the mower and jump and cut it off. But it would have been growing there again in 3 days. So I said, "I'm going to take this thing up by the roots." And I grabbed a hold of that thing, and it did not move. So I'm stubborn too, you know. So I got this little shovel, and I dug and yanked and pulled, and pretty soon it broke loose. And there was a white, long, thick, tapering root. By the time it came out, it was almost 18 inches long. Do you ever notice in times in the summertime, when there's no rain for 3 weeks, how the grass turns brown, but the weeds are always green? Because grass roots are about this deep. Yeah. To be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. Now, some people get rooted to a church building. I have preached for home missions, you know, and they start in a storefront or they start in a living room and they get their first building and it grows and they're squashed and they're like sardines. And then they build a new building or they move it into a big building. And many times they've honored me by being the first evangelist in the new building. And I've gone to some of these revivals and I've had some of the you know, initial saints that started with the home missionary, you know, and they say, "Oh, Brother Mackey, I just miss the old building so much. You know, and I mean, it was just cozier and it was nicer and the presence of God was there and, you know, and yeah, I just miss the old building, you know." I was at a church in Texas. I was there for 2 weeks and here's Sister Mackey and the pastor's wife sitting on the second row and behind them was this couple. And I'm on the platform and the whole song service, this guy's looking at the ceiling, shaking his head. I'm preaching. He's looking at the ceiling, shaking his head. You know? So finally, I mean, every night. So now it's Wednesday of the second week of revival, and I just happened to be sitting there when the man comes in, and, you know, and I said, "Folks," I said, "I appreciate your faithfulness to this revival every night." And I'm talking to him, and he starts looking at the ceiling and shaking his head. I said, "Sir, I notice that you look at the ceiling a lot." I said, "Can I ask you what you're looking at?" He said, yeah, Brother Mackey. He said, we remodeled the building. We got new carpet, and they restained the ceiling. Huh. And I just don't like how it looks, and I just can't focus on God with that color up there. What happens if the church burns down? You mean, how am I going to worship? Folks, we're not rooted to a building. And then other people get rooted to a personality in the pulpit. I'm sorry to say, there's been apostolic churches when they have a change of leadership. Ooh, it's the earthquake that goes through the congregation. Why? The other pastor wore glasses and this one doesn't. The other pastor played the trombone and this one doesn't play anything. The other pastor walked around all the time when he preached and this one just stands there. That's why pastors need to be careful not to build the church on their personality, but still going back to the word, to the word, to the word, to the word. But really, some churches change pastors and they can't handle it. And then some people get rooted to an evangelist. I preach revivals, people come in, repent, get baptized, receive the Holy Ghost, and when I leave town, they leave. There's a church I preach at right here in Wisconsin. Folks, I mean, this years ago, this family got saved, the mom and the dad and their two sons and daughter. And the two sons and the daughter is still in the apostolic church. But now the mom and dad went back to the Methodist church. But they say, hey, mom and dad, brother, you know, Jonathan Mackey's preaching revival. And they come out every night. And I say, man, I said, you folks need to be in this church. Why are you here? I said, you were baptized here. But Brother Mackey, we like your preaching. I said, you don't have to like my preaching. You got to love Jesus and you got to love truth. For a while, the big thing was, will you sign my Bible, Brother Mackey? You know. And I see all these name brand preachers in there. You know, I'm one of these generics, you know. So I always know what I write? Get rooted in Jesus Christ. God bless you, Brother Mackey. Listen, folks, buildings will change, pastors will change, evangelists will change, but we're not rooted to the church, to a pastor, to an evangelist. We are rooted to Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. But we need roots. Roots that go deeper than the trial, deeper than the sickness, deeper than the bitterness, deeper than the rebellion, deeper than the hurt, deeper than the failure. Amen. Because the devil will try to uproot you. The world will try to uproot you. But you got to be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 in our Bibles. That's in the Old Testament for you that don't know. Right, page 985 in my Bible. All right. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Shall not see when he cometh, but her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. If I ever read a description of positive Christianity, this is it. You know what? Here you are. You know, you're like a tree planted. You know the word planted means it's there deliberately, it's there on purpose. If you in this church plant a garden, you put the tomatoes in this row, you put the onions in this row, you plant the cucumbers in this row. This man is planted. He is there deliberately on purpose. But here's a man planted by the waters, roots spread out all over the place. The heat comes. You mean there's some heat? Doesn't bother me. You know, her leaf is green, not brown, wilted, curled up and dry. Shall not be careful in the year of drought, doesn't hold anything back, and neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Yep, this is the will of God for everyone in this building. Now let's look at Psalm 92 in our Bibles. Psalm 92. Verse 12, it says, the righteous shall flourish. Not the cold, not the carnal, not the backslidden, not the worldly. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The hardest tree in the world to cut down is the palm tree. The fastest growing tree in the world is the cedar in Lebanon. It should be hard to knock a Christian down. And there should be growth in our lives. Verse 13, those that be planted in where? The house of the Lord. Aren't you glad we're having watch night service tonight? Aren't you glad we still have Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Where? Right here in the courts of our God. Do you understand? People will tell you things when you're in this building that he will not tell you any other time. Right here in this house, because of the ministry of song and testimonies and preaching, you begin to flourish right in the courts of God. I like verse 14. They shall still, they always have, and they shall continue to bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be spiritually fat and flourishing. Three times God uses the word flourish. Every businessman in this building wants a flourishing business. God wants to have a flourishing church. But the church is not the walls and the wood. You are the church. And when you flourish individually, the church is going to flourish collectively. Even in old age, they shall be fat and flourishing. God wants you to be spiritually healthy. You know, I have pastored skinny Christians. Have you ever seen pictures of these areas of the world in Bangladesh and so forth, where they, Time magazine, you know, National Geographic, here's these little kids with skinny arms, their eyes sunken in their heads, bloated tummies. And it's really sad. They are so frail and weak because they haven't eaten anything that they can't even walk. I have pastored people like that. You know, the man's dressed in a nice suit, nice shirt, nice tie, you know, naturally, but spiritually. He's so skinny, his tummy's bloated, his eyes are sunken in his head. Let me describe a spiritually skinny Christian to you. Because when the skinny Christian comes to church and he kneels to pray before service starts, it's been so long since he's bent his knees that they crack when he kneels down. He says, oh, Lord, bless me, touch me, be with me, Lord. Me, 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 me. Yeah, it's all me. And then when it's time to worship, you know, the worship priest says, all right, everybody, let's raise those hands to God. The skinny Christian says, yep, I think I can get one hand up to God here. And then let's clap those hands. Yeah, I think I can clap my hands for one chorus. And when the skinny Christian testifies, it's a disaster. Oh, everybody, it's so hard to live for God. You just don't know what I'm going through. And I just don't know if I'm going to make it. Oh. And my one desire is to make heaven my home. I was at a church in Indianapolis, a large church. And this new convert stood up, or I don't know if it's a new convert, but this individual stood up and testified. He talked about how hard it was, and the last words of his testimony were, but I'm going to stick it out with Jesus till the bitter end. And the pastor said, we're not in Custer's army here, you know. The spiritually skinny Christian, not fat, not flourishing. And the skinny Christian could not take preaching. The pastor's up here, the evangelist is up here just preaching their guts out. And the skinny Christian is saying, amen, preach it. They say, ouch, ooh, I don't like him. I don't. And then when the altar is open, the skinny Christian will come to this altar for 4 minutes and 13 seconds. He can talk to God 4 minutes and 13 seconds, but talk to his friends in the vestibule for 28 minutes. And then they almost have to sleep in the next morning because going to church just wore me out. But God wants us to be fat and flourishing. Boy, when the healthy Christian comes to church, boy, do you know what? When he comes to the altar and prays, he said, oh, Lord, let me be a blessing tonight. Help me to minister to somebody. Oh, Lord, help me to encourage somebody. Lord, use me somehow for your glory. It's not me, 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 me. Listen, everybody. You need to have roots in Jesus Christ now, all right? And now, folks, when it's time to worship, the flourishing Christian says, you know what? I've worked and I'm tired, but with the strength I have left, I'm going to clap my hands and I'm going to raise my hands. Hallelujah. And when the fat Christian testifies, God gets the glory. The skinny Christian says, the devil's been chasing me all week. But the fat Christian says, I've been chasing the devil all week. Amen. And he didn't have a chance. Hallelujah. And the desire of the healthy Christian. Oh, my one desire is to make heaven my home. No, my desire is to be a soul winner. My desire is to bring somebody with me. My desire is that the church would grow. And the fat Christian loves preaching. Boy, even when it steps on his toes, instead of saying, ouch, or oh me, or I don't like it, say, yeah, this is good preaching, Brother Mackey. Yeah, this is a good preaching, Brother I like you. Yeah, folks. And the fat Christian loves this altar because you do not get deeper roots standing in that vestibule. You got deeper roots right here at this altar. They shall be fat and flourishing. Hallelujah. I'm talking about roots tonight. What an exciting subject, huh? Really? You can't even see them, but you know when they're there. Mm-hmm. Now, back to Psalm 1. All right. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted there deliberately by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Your fruit is not my fruit. Your season is not my season. But every one of us has a season and every one of us has a fruit. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Now my message is not on fruit, but boy, you could preach a whole message on fruit because you know people by their fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Worship is the fruit of our lips. Right? There has to be fruit. The Bible says holiness is fruit. So God wants us to bear fruit. Whatever your fruit is and whatever your season is, all right, you know, that's between you and God. But be fruitful. Just don't have a whole bunch of leaves. Right? Bear fruit for God. Now, let's look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 37. Isaiah, chapter 37. All right? Isaiah, chapter 37, and verse 31. Isaiah, chapter 37, and verse 31. It says, and the remnant that is escaped the house of Judah shall again, let's all say again, you got to continually do this, shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Now, do you know what would make your relationship with God and your Christianity frustrating? It's frustrating to try to have fruit and you don't have any roots. That's what would make it frustrating. I can't do this. But if you try to have the fruit without having the roots, that's why we need to be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. So therefore, but you keep coming to God's house, you keep listening to the counsel of the godly, you don't congregate with the sinners. Folks, you don't scorn the things of God. Your delight is in the law of the Lord. You love this altar. Do you know what? After a while, there are just things that are being produced in your life. Where are they coming from? Do you know what? You're taking root downward, and you're going to bear fruit upward. That's why when you take an apple tree and you plant it in the right place, the apple tree, it doesn't have a nervous breakdown. Oh, I hope I have apples and not pears. I hope. No, folks, it's an apple tree. If you plant it in the right place, it's going to have apples. So please, we don't have to say, oh, I hope I get the victory. I hope I resist the devil. I hope I overcome temptation. No, folks, if you get planted in the right place, you will overcome the devil. You will resist temptation. You will not love the world, and you will be victorious. But you got to plant yourself. Amen. In the house of the Lord. Take root downward first. Bear fruit upward second. Because it's frustrating to desire to have fruit when you do not have any roots. So if it's hard for you to pray consistently, you need deeper roots. If you only can worship God in the good times, you need deeper roots. If you're up and down, in and out, hot and cold, you need deeper roots. When you're easily offended, you need deeper roots. When you have no burden for the lost, you need deeper roots. I preach in Florida every spring, and there was a couple years ago after the hurricanes, you know, half the roofs had blue tarps on them because it took the roofs right off. And, you know, I mean, boats were cast up on land. Trees were uprooted. But here's those palm trees. Those winds come, and those palm trees just bend. When the wind stops, and I wondered why. And do you know what? I read in an encyclopedia that there was this one grove of palm trees, stand of palm trees. And they figured that the root system, if they took all the roots and put them end to end, folks, there would be over 100 miles of roots underground. You know, listen, I don't know what storms are going to come in 2014. I don't know winds are going to blow. I don't know what we're going to live. We are living in a day when everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. But I want you to know, folks, you don't have to worry about the storm. You just need to get roots in Jesus. You know? And everything is, and when the storm's all over, you're still going to be living for God. Andre Crouch wrote a song some years ago, "What Makes a Man Turn His Back on God?" What would it be? It would cause you to lose your relationship with God. But you need roots that go deeper than the bitterness, deeper than the revenge, deeper than the hurt, deeper. Hallelujah. Now, I was preaching in Columbus, Ohio, and a man's 14 or 16-foot python escaped from his house. They had no idea where it was. Now, pythons are not poisonous, but they can squeeze you a little bit, you know. And I was listening to the radio, and they said, until we catch this python, they were telling everyone, don't stand under any trees. Because when we find the snake, it's going to be in a tree. And then the announcer, he was joking, but it was kind of, and it really was kind of cute. He said, but if the python does fall on you, act like a tree. You know what the Bible's telling us? When the storm comes, be a tree. When the shaking comes, be a tree. When the flood comes, be a tree. Planted by the rivers of water. Let's all stand and clap hands for victory, shall we? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul in the Philippians greets the saints in Caesar's household. Right in Caesar's house. There were people mopping his floors, making his bed, dusting the furniture, speaking in tongues. You know what the Bible says? I can do all things through Christ, because I'm rooted and built up in him. All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Take root downward, and you wear bear fruit upward. Now, I don't know what, do you know, I shall not be moved? Good, see? You can tell I'm one of those ancient evangelists because I still sing these songs. How many here know I shall not be moved? Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but not me. I shall not be moved. Amen. So as we sing it, we're going to step out of our pews, come around this altar. Let's get this word engrafted in us a little bit, shall we? Amen. Let's get our roots just a little bit deeper. Hallelujah. Oh, I shall not be, just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved. Oh no, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be moved. Oh no, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be moved. Oh, on his word I'm feeding. I shall not be moved. He's the one that's leading. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh yeah, let's all sing it and clap our hands. Oh, I shall not be, just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved. Oh, let's all pray and talk to the Lord. Amen. Hey, everybody, really, let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes. Just say, Lord, give me deeper roots. God, let me do something to have deeper roots.